Okay, so today I'm speaking on the chapter that's called Treatment Clarifies Thought from the book The Anatomy of Healing Prayer by Ernest Holmes. And I always remind everybody that this is one of my favorite books by Ernest Holmes, maybe my very favorite. And I decided to do this talk yesterday about 2:30 and was happy to be able to fill in and just had a chance to take a quick look again at this chapter. Fortunately, I knew I was going to speak on it later and in the month, and so I had read the chapter for today, and I had been sort of letting it perk in the back of my mind for a few days, and actually had put aside a quote that I thought might relate, and so when I found out I was going to speak, I thought, okay, this is gonna work. We're going to figure it out, and I will share something of value. So I hope that my intention to share something of value comes through with what I actually say. And thinking about this idea about prayer clarifying thought, let me just review very quickly that spiritual mind treatment, as we teach it in Science of Mind, starts out with the first step of recognition. This is what God is. And it gives you the opportunity to contemplate the biggest picture you can find of what spirit is in the moment. And often it might relate to the subject of the prayer. If we're praying about abundance, we might say God is abundance, God is prosperity. If we're praying about health and well-being, we might say God is health and God is wholeness. And it gives us the opportunity to deepen our understanding of what God is, because over time, we repeat the prayers, we say them regularly, we include these words all the time, love and light and peace and power, God is grace and wholeness and prosperity, abundance, intelligence, creativity, well-being. It's what my guides, the beloved, calls the timeless, eternal nouns. Which is a play on the phrase timeless eternal now, and it always made me laugh when beloved said timeless eternal nouns. So it made me have a lightness about step one of treatment that allowed me to see that God is fun and friendly and familiar, not just abstract and distant. God can be incredibly personal and loving in our hearts to us. So God is. And then the second step is unification. When you say God is all of this, then you say, and I am that. I am that. I am that. And you've heard me say this 1,000 times, but when I teach treatment, I always tell people, if you don't say wow when you get to I am that, go back and do step one again. Because God is expansive, magnificent, more than we can take in any one moment. And the point to doing this step one is to get us to contemplate, wow, God is, and then I am that. Whew, goosebumps and tears and expanding hearts can come of a really good step one and two of treatment. And then Step three is realization. What am I realizing? That if God is and I am that, what is it about my life? Well, the answer for me is, therefore my life works, or the life of the person that I'm treating for works. If you're treating for someone else in unification, you unify yourself and that other person. So you acknowledge that this person that I'm treating for is also God in expression. And it's exciting. It's stimulating. It's a movement of energy when you do a treatment. And then step four is Thanksgiving. Oh, okay, if my life works, I'm grateful. And we can give thanks in that moment. And then step five is release. I let go and let God. The way I say it is, I relax in trust and I release my word into the law, allowing it to be. Sometimes I add, it is good and it is done. That's the conviction part. It is done, and so it is. So I can let go. In that state of conviction, I am done with this treatment, and I know the truth of myself, this person I'm praying for perhaps, and life in general. That's what I know. And that's how treatment clarifies thought. It takes us away from the negative thinking, from the worries and the anxiety, from the fears and the angers and the whatever else could be going on. It takes us back to that solid, eternal truth that God is, I am that, therefore my life works, thanks, over and out. It's a very simple formula, and doing it, and then doing it again every day for 35 years has convinced me that there is value here. It's powerful. And so as I'm getting ready to give a talk like this, I'm always looking at what's the message that comes in right after this on Facebook, and the Abraham Hicks message that came in was, you are more than you know. And that's what treatment is all about. It's about reminding us constantly that we are more than we recognize in the moment. And we can expand that knowing on purpose by doing our prayers. It's so addictive. If you do it and you feel it and it feels so good, you want to do it more. And, you know, you want to make it a part of your experience so that you live in your head and your heart more and more in that space of oneness and wholeness and light and life and joy and wisdom and power and all of those things that God is, that we can be more of if we remember to look at it. And so that's what Ernest Holmes was talking about in this chapter. And I quote all the time, we know more light will be given as we use that which we have, from the Science of Mind textbook. It was on my notebook for my entire practitioner training, because to me, becoming a practitioner was about using the light I had been given and welcoming in more to come. And the light is on the inside as well as the outside. So we are giving and receiving light all the time. the energy, the love that God is directed to us, through us, as us, in us, 100% of the time. And as we tap into it, we have the capacity to share it. And the energy of that love is amazing. And so I got off on this tangent because in this chapter is one of my favorite quotes from Ernest Holmes. And I'm looking for the page where I typed it. He was quoting a poet, and he said, no singer has ever lived the wholeness of his minstrelsy. Minstrelsy, here it is. None of the singers ever yet has wholly lived his minstrelsy. I love that word. We are all singers, and we are living this minstrelsy. We see it in TM and Felicia and Lavanya as they sing to us. I see it in all my musician friends, but I see it in everyone I know. I see it in the birds I look at. They sing their songs magnificently, and they never get done. And that's how Abraham says it. They always say, you never get it done. Don't try to get it done. You'll never get it done. You are never going to wholly live your minstrelsy. That cracks me up. And so don't try to get it done. Learn to enjoy the process of it. Learn to live the joy of it. And that quote reminded me of one of my other favorite sections in this book that fortunately I typed up for the talk I gave from that chapter in February, but I never gave it, and that I ran out of time in that talk, so I never actually quoted this. So I will quote it today. It's a story about Ernest Holmes working with Peggy Lee, and she told him, because you are coming to my concert, I want to give the best show I've ever given. And he replied, you will, but not because I am coming. Her manager called him after and said it was the best show she ever gave in her life. And Ernest said, what is to stop God from singing? She is going to sing. God is going to sing. God sings all the songs, dances all the dances, paints all the pictures, creates all the art, writes every book, plays every game. And we ask, are we then but puppets? And Ernest said, this is the light that the world knows nothing about. This is God singing. It isn't an imitation of God. It doesn't obliterate her individuality. It's the only thing that accentuates it, the only thing that permits it. There is a place in every man's life when the reins run out full length. There is spiritual genius hidden in the commonplace. That is the universal artist devoting his or her or its whole time to what I'm saying right now, as though he or she or it had nothing else to do. There is a light that lighteth every man's path. To surrender to this genius is not conceit. There has to be a word or a state of consciousness that exercises its authority to the level of our present perception. To the level of our present perception. That means that we see as we vibrate. If we're vibrating in fear, we will see things to be afraid of. If we're vibrating in anger, we'll see things to be angry about. If we're vibrating in wholeness, we'll see health. If we're vibrating in love, we'll see love everywhere we look. And I talked to Beloved about this in my first book, and Beloved said, love is contagious. It spreads from one to another, heart to heart. You are really picking up on the love, and it's embedded in every one of your dialogues with us. It's vibrating in the attention you bring, the love that you feel, the joy you're experiencing, and it sings in the words you are writing. It sings for those who are intending love and connection as you are. It doesn't sing for people who don't have that desire. That's okay. You're not everyone's teacher or inspiration. So our love sings. Some of us actually physically sing it. Some of us live it. And it sings through our vibration. Another place I was talking to Beloved, and they said, what happens in your mind today conditions the world you will perceive tomorrow. I thought you'd say creates the world I experience tomorrow, Beloved. B said, it's already created. All the love, joy, health, abundance, wonder, fun, serenity you could want, it's already created. You don't have to create it. You just have to open the blinds so you can see it. And that's what our treatments are doing. Our treatments are opening the blinds so we can see more clearly at the vibration of love and light and peace and power and grace and health and wholeness and joy. I quoted something we've been bantering about. It's not creating something we are not. It's not about creating something we're not. It's about perceiving something we already are. And B said, exactly. You've been saying that for a long time. We love that you're starting to believe it. And we laughed. I said, I love it. I am too. It's exciting to get this glimmer that life is so much easier than most of us are making it. So what's the bottom line here, B? B said, let the love flow through the crack of least resistance. Delight in the babies, the sunshine, and the rainbows. Let your heart open to whatever feels safe and good to you. As you open that one crack, it will connect to other cracks. You'll find love streaming through places you never thought you could love. That takes us to that space of being less conditional in our love, more unconditionally loving the wholeness, the truth, the beauty of life. Rumi said, I said, what about pain and suffering? And he said, stay with it. The wound is the place where the light enters you. B was talking about opening one crack and connecting to other cracks and letting the love stream through places you never thought you could love. And I went to confirm that Rumi quote this morning, and it called up a song by Leonard Cohen called Anthem. Anybody know it? Reverend Marie is nodding her head. He sings over and over again. You can listen to it on YouTube. It's very moving. Ring the bells that can still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Whew. So that reminded me of my experience that I've talked of many times, of meeting the man on the Whooparoo Mountain online game from Yemen. And he and I started conversing on the game. I helped him some, and he was appreciative that I helped him on the game. And it was a philanthropy game. It was about giving away whatever you created, and you got points for giving things away. So you wanted to create a lot of stuff so you could give away a lot of stuff. And that just thrilled me. I loved it. So I loved playing that game. And this man, he called himself Sammy. He was from Yemen. And shortly after, I started talking to him on Facebook. He went to my Facebook page and he said, "I can see that you are as kind in real life as you on Facebook as you are in the game." And he said, I'm touched by that. And shortly after that, his country was invaded and his life went to war. His family escaped to Saudi Arabia, but they left him behind to mind the home and the business. And he ended up being trapped there in a serious war zone while the city was destroyed around him and his potential escape from the country was closed off. And he and I had such an amazing experience for a number of weeks while he was trying to deal with all of this. And this one day, he said to me, "I've been praying for peace 5 times a day since I was 14 years old. Is God angry with us?" And I was walking across a parking lot to go to an appointment. I didn't have any time to talk about that or think about that. And I just sent back 2 words, "free will." And he instantly sent back a thumbs up, and he knew exactly what that meant. And he and I were such different spiritual traditions. But we started speaking Rumi quotes. And I sent him the one that goes something like, "Out beyond right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there." And the first quote he sent me back was, "There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." And suddenly the mystical nature of our two spiritual philosophies connected through Rumi. And over weeks, we continued to send back and forth Rumi quotes that opened our hearts and allow us to speak of love. And this one day he said, "I hear the bombs and guns outside my home, but in here is a peaceable kingdom." He was quite remarkable. On another day, I was walking down Sugarland Drive, very close to here, on a walk around my neighborhood, and I got a text from him at 11:15 in the morning that said, "The Saudi bombs will be here in 10 minutes, and if something happens to me, I want you to remember that you once had a brother named Osama who loved you." The cracks let the light in. The cracks let the love be translated across the internet, across the world. The vibration of love is transcendent. And every treatment is a vibration of love and light and wholeness and beauty and harmony and grace. Everyone, because that's the very essence of treatment. It's about moving into that space of God is and I am that. That's the oneness. That's the mystical vibration. Every treatment we do goes into the energy and spirit of the human consciousness. In this chapter, Ernest said, we know there is cumulative power in treatment. It is cumulative. We know that it's cumulative in its effectiveness. It will be in direct ratio proportion mathematically and mechanically to the inward acceptance of the word. It's cumulative. Reverend Maria said to me when I was beside myself one day, the walls of your home contain every prayer you've ever said there. It's cumulative. That reassures me that I can check in with the walls of my home if I get confused. And I'm trying to find this next reading that I did with Chatting with the Beloved. And I had gone to an Abraham workshop, and I had come out having had a mystical experience at that workshop, because Abraham said, you don't talk to your appliances, but you should. And that totally cracked me up, but I started thinking about that concept. And so I said to Beloved, this is a fabulous vibrational universe. There is so much more going on here than we usually recognize. I feel like I got a more powerful glimpse into that vibrational reality that is now. Yesterday, when I was listening to Abraham, I felt as though you were there feeding me these happy, dynamic images of love yesterday, B, were you? They said, of course, we have always been you there feeding you happy, dynamic images of love. The universe is not a dead, static place you have imagined at all. The universe is alive with spirit dancing in the strings, atoms, molecules, cells, systems, beings, and things of creation. At every level, from the microcosmic to the macrocosmic, the universe dances and soars with the being of God. The being of God dances in your body, endlessly renewing itself and restoring divine balance and harmony as you live. And I said, so God is dancing within me. Everything happening to me in this moment is part of the glorious ongoing dance of God as me. Wow, that's exhilarating. And B said, a cough, sneeze, burp, gurgle, or fart of your digestive system. And we laughed. Is all a part of the elaborately choreographed movement of the dance of God. You are increasingly light on your feet. You are a willing follower as you allow us to lead you by your impulses and feel your way through this. You're consciously cooperating with this incredible dance of life. Isn't it fun? Oh yeah, it's fun. So that went on a lot longer, but I want to end with the treatment that Ernest Holmes did at the end of this chapter, because it's exquisite. I left out a few sentences to see if I could get it short enough for one page. So Ernest said, So let's do it. And let's know we surrender everything that is unreal. Everything that says it can't, or you hadn't ought to, you're not good enough, or you don't know enough. We surrender everything that denies the divine presence, the divine reality, the universal law of good, the love, the unity. Enter into the joy of that inheritance, into the limitless calm of that universal peace, into the bliss of that light eternal which casts no shadow. We are alive, conscious, awake. This is not surrender of action or movement or purpose or intention or accomplishment or the drama or joy of life or the song of life. It is quite the reverse. All these things exist that the one singer shall sing in us. Therefore, we surrender everything that denies the song which is beyond all songs which we sing. All of the love there is in the universe is right here in our experience now, right now. It's not by and by. All of the abundance, all of the glory, all of the good, all of the peace, all of the power, all of the joy, and all of the gratification. Now we know that everything we do shall be prospered and made happy. And now we know that everything we touch shall be blessed. Everything. There is nothing can go forth from us to any person but a blessing. Nothing but life, nothing but joy, nothing but happiness. We shall bless and heal everything we touch without even being aware of it, just like a light is light. We believe in the light. It is real. So everything is made whole. Everything is healed that needs healing. Everything is made glad and happy and bursts into song. Everything is prosperous. This is the law of our lives. We announce it and surrender everything that denies it until there is nothing left but the central fact that affirms it. We are that. And so it is.